1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, it says here what we should not be like and what we should be like. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. That teaches us that when a man lives according to his lusts, it is because he is ignorant of God. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. The proof that you are ignorant of God, you don't know God at all, is that you live according to your lusts. Any man in the world, whether Christian, believer, non-Christian, who lives according to his lusts is in ignorance. He doesn't know God. So when a lot of Christians say that they know God and yield to their lusts, they're telling lies. They don't really know the God of the Bible. They know some other God who is a figment of their own imagination. But the true Christian, this is how he does. He's not conformed to his former lusts because now he's not ignorant. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. That's the main reason why we should be holy, because he's our Father. And listen to this, verse 17. And if you address as Father, that means we call God Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. Our entire lifetime, it says we must live in reverent fear. The Living Bible says, act in reverent fear of Him from now on until you get to heaven. There is a fear we're not supposed to have, and there is a fear we're supposed to have. And we need to distinguish between the two. We are all familiar with that verse in 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But at the same time, it's like judging, you know. Jesus said, do not judge, but judge. I don't know whether you know that. John 7:24, he said, don't judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So he didn't tell us never to judge. He said, don't judge according to the appearance, but you must judge righteous judgment. And so if you don't judge, you're disobeying God. Some people know only one part of that verse, don't judge. In the same way, Jesus also said, do not fear, but fear. That's in Matthew chapter 10. And all failure in the Christian life comes because of an imbalanced understanding of the truth. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body. It means don't fear man. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body. So just like Jesus said, don't judge but judge in John 7:24. He says here in Matthew 10 and verse 28, don't fear but fear. And a lot of Christians are taken up with the first part, don't fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. There are many verses like that. Zechariah prophesied at the birth of John that we should serve God without fear. And that's how it should be. And we know that other verse in Romans in chapter 8, which says, you have not received a spirit of slavery, Romans 8:15, to fear again, but a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. So there are a number of verses that teach us we're not to be afraid. We're not to be afraid of God. Jesus often said, fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. He came to deliver us, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15, from the fear of death by defeating the one who had the power of death and taking away that power from him, so that he might deliver us who through fear of death were subject to slavery. You see, in Romans 8:15 also it says about fear and slavery. Fear always brings us slavery. When you're afraid of man, you're a slave of man. Every man you're afraid of, you're his slave, whether you know it or not. Anyone you want to try to please, any man you want to try and please, you're his slave, whether you know it or not. That's why the Bible says we should not seek to please men. We should not be afraid of men. When we are afraid of death, we're in slavery. Any type of fear brings slavery. That type of fear we've got to be released from. Completely, totally, 100%. But there's another type of fear, a reverent fear of God, which brings freedom. And it's because many Christians do not have that reverent fear of God that they don't come into freedom. I feel, as I've observed our own church here through, as I look back over the past, say, 10 years, when we began to break free from the clutches of legalism and law that governed a lot of our preaching in previous years, and we never want to go back to that. I have observed something which is very sad. In the last 10 years, folks in our church here have indulged in more secret sin than in the previous 15 years when we were under law. Not everybody. Number. You don't know. I happen to know. A number. And I ask myself, why is that? And I also know that some others have come into a far more glorious freedom and a holiness that they've never experienced in previous years. And I'll tell you why the reason is, and it may apply to a number of you here, because you know the sins you've lived in secret, that nobody in this church knows about. Perhaps only God, but maybe some of you are living in sin I don't even know about myself. It doesn't matter. It's because in breaking free from the old covenant, we have not entered the new covenant, but no covenant. See, there are three possibilities: old covenant, no covenant, new covenant. And many people here in CFC have said, we're finished with legalism, we're finished with the old covenant, and entered into an area which I would call no covenant. They break free from the fear of man and the fear of the elder brothers, and come into a place where they don't even fear God. It's very sad. People feared Moses and lived holier lives than a lot of Christians today. And that is why I've always said, if you come to this church, if you don't fear God, at least fear the elders. That's second best, because that's old covenant. They feared Moses and obeyed him. It wasn't the best. It was the fear of God. But examine your life and see whether your holiness has exceeded the holiness of people under the old covenant. If not, I want to say to you, you're living in a delusion. Have you broken free? It's because we don't have that, you know, we've heard a lot about the love of God. But many people think of God as a grandfather. You know, the love of a grandfather is different from the love of a father. And I want to tell you, God is no grandfather. He's not one who just ignores anything you do, like grandfathers do. What did we read in 1 Peter 1? Spend your entire life on earth. This is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. It's the Apostle Peter writing 30 years after the day of Pentecost. Spend your entire life on earth in fear. The same word. I'm supposed to live my entire life on earth, 1 Peter 1:17, in fear. In fear of what? In fear of God. Let me show you some other verses. Hebrews chapter I'm not going to go to the Old Testament. I'm going to be in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Hebrews 12, verse 25. After speaking about coming to Jesus, verse 24, the mediator of a new covenant, he says, then, if that is the case, you've come to Jesus, the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin, then see to it that you don't refuse him who is speaking. And listen to this. This is a warning to new covenant people. For if those did not escape, that is, those under the old covenant did not escape, when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised not only earth, but he's also going to shake heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, in order that things which cannot be shaken may remain. Every created thing is going to be shaken. Those of you who depend on created things, I want to say you're on a shaky foundation. If you are glorying in anything created, you're on a shaky foundation. If your foundation is money, property, a good job, a secure job, and 101 earthly things like that, you are going to be shaken without a doubt. There'll be nothing left underneath you. The only things that will remain are the things which are not created. And therefore, since this is going to happen, what shall we do? Since we are going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, what should we do? Let us show gratitude. How do you show gratitude for Jesus dying for you? There is only one way to show gratitude to Jesus for dying for you, and that is by offering to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. How many of you brothers and sisters have a reverence and awe for God 24 hours a day? That makes you afraid to say things, certain things. That makes you afraid to do certain things. I fear it has disappeared because you have moved from old covenant to no covenant, and the devil has deceived you to think that this is the freedom there is in Christ. Freedom has become an opportunity for the flesh. Like I said, the student who cheats in the examination and passes and then asks the Lord to forgive him and cleanse him in his blood, he thinks he's got the best of both worlds. He passed in his exam. At the same time, he confessed his sin and Jesus forgave his sin. And he also believes in justification, which means just as if I had never sinned. That means, praise the Lord, it's just as if I never cheated in the exam. Isn't that wonderful gospel? That I can pass in the exam with cheating, confess my sin, and be just as if I had never cheated. It's not just as if you had never cheated. Every sin we commit, God may forgive it, but it causes a scar which will never be removed. I don't know whether you know that. We have to reap what we sow.